Thanks for tuning in. This hour is sponsored by Barbara Carlson. She has a message. Obama is not a socialist, but I am. Barbara Carlson, who is a DSA member. Thanks to Barbara for sponsoring this first hour of the program tonight. There are only, for me right now, only two topics really that I have any interest in at all. And basically for the same reason. The first one is the utter collapse of the Obama administration. Total surrender. I've never seen anything like this in my life. Obama has all but announced his deal with Republicans where it concerns the extension of the Bush crime family, rape of the federal treasury, and destruction of the middle class. Obama has now officially signed on to it. I don't think there's anything that this man could say or do that would redeem him in my little eyes. I don't know about you. If you're going to maintain your loyalty, you're a Democrat, you're going to maintain the loyalty to Obama after what he has done in terms of absolute, utter cowardice, go ahead. Count me out. The broad parameters of the deal that this president has struck with some of the most swinish, disgusting political leaders ever to be assembled. I'm talking about the current leadership of the Republican Party. If you can find, from an historical perspective, other Republicans who were as vile as these leaders are, well, you can't, so there's no point in my even trying to finish the comparison. 2-year extension of the tax cuts for the absolute wealthiest people in this country, the top 1-2%. 2-year extension. That means permanent and forever. Because a 2-year extension means the Republicans were just handed their big campaign issue in 2012. Same thing they're doing now. America doesn't want this. The handful of liberal Democrats in the House and Senate don't want it. But this unholy alliance between Barack Obama and congressional Republicans has now been completed. 2-year extension, which means permanent extension of all Bush-era tax rates for the wealthy. I will guarantee you that 2 years from now, when this country is absolutely bankrupt, you and I will be asked to give up whatever we still cling to as part of the old FDR social safety net. It's gone, truth seeker. In return, a stinking, filthy 13-month extension of unemployment insurance. 13 months. That was, I mean, when you compare a permanent extension of billions upon billions of dollars and ultimately trillions into the pockets of the people who are riding this dying empire into the ground, when you compare that to the stinking amount of money, the chump change to keep unemployment comp working, It makes me just, I don't know, sick. Also, a 2 percentage point decrease in the payroll tax for 1 year. And the decision to lower the inheritance tax, what the Republicans call the death tax. Obama was thinking about raising it. It's going to fall all the way down to 35%. Now, this is going to bankrupt the country. And to all the people out there in La La Land who voted for Republicans in this last midterm election, to all the people who consider themselves middle class or working class, that's it. You're finished. And it should really expose the right wing in this country as being the liars that they are. But Americans will not see this. The people that voted Republican will not see that what the Republican Party is doing is absolutely destroying Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the ability of all government, whether it is state, local, or national, to handle those functions that government must handle because private enterprise can't do it. So, as this thing, this agreement between Bush and the Republican Party leadership, as this thing solidifies and starts to work its magic, it's further erosion and ultimate destruction of everything that every working person in this country with a social conscience or a sense of the future has worked for the past 40, 50, 60 years. It is now gone. The fascists, the Republicans, have won. Corporate America has won, and they've won big time. Nancy Pelosi, according to TheHill.com, was very direct with the president this afternoon that a significant number of her members do not support this package. Oh, so what's going to happen? Does somebody think that there is a Democrat in the House or the Senate who will stand up on his hind legs or her hind legs and resist this? The president isn't. The president is throwing the entire country right into the gutter. And the Republicans are standing there waiting with open arms. And so are the goodly number of Democrats. I was talking earlier this evening with my good friend Bart Kopp. He called me, as he does about once every 4 or 5 years, or I call him. We don't talk that much on telephone. No need to. But he called me this evening, and you know, I said, "Hey, why don't you come on the program tonight and talk about this stuff?" And because he was having a little bit of a problem trying to remain articulate. He was so furious, and he said, "I'd love to, Mike, but can't trust myself to go on the radio." I said, "Well, I hear you. Trust me when I say that your good friend Bart Kopp, whose website I'm sure you've gone to, if you haven't, shame on you, bartkopp.com is where you should go at least once a day. I usually go there at the end of the day, frankly, because by then everything's up and it's the most amazing site. But Bart Kopp usually has a way of expressing himself. And on the phone tonight, he was having a hard time explaining how rotten he felt because of what Obama and the Democrats have decided to do to this country. And I certainly share that with him. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Renegade Talk Radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
It's coming through a hole in the air. 21 past the hour. Now, in addition to everything else that Obama has utterly and absolutely caved in on, and again, this hour is sponsored by Barbara Carlson, who says Obama is not a socialist, but I am. Barbara Carlson, a proud DSA member. In addition to everything that he caved in on today, he also caved in on, he agreed to give up his making work pay tax credit. That was the central tax break for middle and low-income Americans in last year's economic stimulus bill. This will show you how far this president has gone with Republican Party leadership to destroy the country. I mean, totally destroy it in terms of everything but enhancing it as a national security state. Obama had been asking for a one-year extension of the Making Work Pay tax credit, which provided a tax break of up to, oh my goodness, $400 for individuals and $800 for couples. But the Republicans said no. A spokesman for the Obama Coward Organization said that in the emerging deal that the Republicans have dictated to this man, the Making Work Pay tax credit will be replaced with a one-year reduction in payroll taxes for workers. Oh, well, isn't that lovely? A one-year reduction in payroll tax. What does that mean? An extra $2.80 a week? Negotiators, I love the way media puts this, negotiators were also close to an agreement to restore the federal estate tax, which lapsed at the start of this year, with an exemption of up to $5 million per individual at a maximum rate of 35%. Now, Obama was on a visit to Winston-Salem, North Carolina today, and he said the two sides were working toward an agreement that would prevent tax increases at the start of the year. That's what he said. When the Bush crime family rates are due to expire. That's what he said. That's what this president said. Here's a quote from Winston-Salem today. He said, quote, right now, Democrats and Republicans in Congress are working through some differences to try to get this done. And there are some serious debates that are still taking place. Republicans want to make permanent the tax cuts for the wealthy Americans. I have argued that we can't afford it right now. But what I've also said is that we've got to find consensus here, because a middle class tax hike would be very tough, not only on working families. It would also be a drag on our economy at this moment. What? Is this leadership? Jesus Christ, I could do better than this. Obama added, quote, there's no reason to order an ordinary American to see their taxes go up next year. We should also extend unemployment insurance for workers who've lost their jobs through no fault of their own. That's a priority. And I should mention that that's not only the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. Because if millions of Americans who aren't getting unemployment benefits stop spending money, why, that slows down business. That slows down hiring. That slows down our recovery. And with that kind of garbage talk, the President of the United States, who has a D after his name indicating party affiliation, Mr. Obama, please take that away. You're no more of a Democrat than my Aunt Fanny. Just take it away, will you, please? If Obama will not fight for fair taxes and fiscal stability, what will he fight for? That's what John Nichols asked at thenation.com. And you know the horrible part, this lame duck session of Congress where all this is being hammered out is still entirely controlled by Democrats. If you ever vote Democrat again, you should have your ass kicked up around your shoulders. You really should. If you're a Republican, of course you won't. You like the brutality that's heading your way. You like the deprivation that's coming. Or maybe you're just so damn stupid you don't realize what's coming your way. But if you're a Democrat, if you're a worker, if you work for a living, if your income, if you have one, doesn't come from capital gains and investments and sale of bonds and stocks and all those wonderful things that capitalism can do to make sure that the top 1% or 2% is forever wealthy and the bottom 98% is forever struggling. If you're in that group, carry on. But if you're a Democrat, if you're a working person, and you ever vote Democrat again, I would just ask you why. Why? Somebody. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're coming up on a break. When we come back from this break, we're going to open up the lines. And I want you to address that issue. Okay? If you're a Democrat, my question is, why are you still a Democrat?
Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
25 before the hour. You know, another thing about that make work pay provision that Obama had as a centerpiece of his tax policy. It also included, not in that particular category, but also a tax credit for students and the make work pay provision. Both of those were developed as part of the 2009 economic stimulus package. And as John Nichols points out, remarkably, Republican negotiators who are going to the mat to defend $140 billion in tax breaks for the wealthiest 2% of Americans are objecting to maintaining $70 million in tax credits for the other 98% of us. The so-called negotiation is not heading toward a compromise. It's headed toward a complete capitulation. And, of course, the tax breaks to the wealthy will put the country another $700 billion in red ink in order to finance their continuing to steal as much as they can from the rest of us. The top 2% will be financed in this massive giveaway by the Chinese. And once again, the bond sales necessary to make this happen will be snatched up by the rest of the world. The wealthy 2%, the wealthy 1% to 2% are making sure that not only is the social safety net that's been in place in one form or another for the past three generations, not only is that to be destroyed, but the debt that's being accumulated so that these wealthy sons of bitches can continue to live the way they want to live, that debt will be projected all the way through the rest of the century. It's just unbelievable to me. I don't understand why people vote Republican. And I don't understand why Obama turned out to be an absolute traitor to the Democratic Party. I don't get either one of those. Jim is in Rio Grande, California. Is that right?
Rio Grande.
Rio Grande. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. Hey, when are you going to get serious and start promoting a parliament type of government in Washington?
No, I promote democratic socialism. And if
you
that,
don't think so, you don't you think the two party system is good?
No, of course not.
Then why wouldn't I have?
Where have you been? You're late to the program. I've been talking about it for 6 years.
For a parliament?
Yes, absolutely. Over and over and over and over again. On the Canadian,
I meant those parts.
Well, I guess so. On the Canadian model, hell, even the English model. I don't care. Australian model. There are other forms too, but of course, the Democratic Republican nonsense is dead. It has been dead. It's destroying the country. Well, the country is destroyed. But at the same time, capitalism will never, ever, under any circumstances, I can sit here and talk about parliamentary forms of government until hell freezes over.
I'm talking about the hiring elected officials. That's all. I don't want to mix apples and oranges too much, but I'm just saying that the idea is, see, what I've been hearing for years now, people are complaining about there isn't enough partisan politics in Washington.
But wait a second. Who do you think is in charge? You don't really believe there's a political class that's in charge anymore, do you?
Well, I mean, they cast votes, but another thing that people don't understand is that the political people in Washington, they're not beholden to the voters any more than, say, an actor is directly beholden to the people who see his films, or an athlete is directly beholden to the people who go to the games.
Right.
They get paid by their own people.
Well, then why would you want to continue the capitalist system?
Well, you're talking about public financing?
What?
Well, you can't. Are you talking about not being able to collect money from people who want to give you money to pay for?
No. I'm saying why would you want to continue? Look, step if you can. I don't know. Maybe you can't. But if you can, try to set aside a discussion whether or not a two-party system or a parliamentary system or this system or that system is going to work. Step out of that for just a moment and let me ask you this: what makes you think that the predatory capitalism that's brought us to this point would change if we had a parliamentary system?
Because it would open up politics to more than two ideas.
Are you not familiar with Citizens United ruling, by the recent ruling by the Supreme Court? We don't have a system of financing elections anymore that is that respects the idea of one person, one vote. Are you not aware of that?
I'm aware that there's not these kind of problems in pretty much all the industrialized world. That other countries have moved on.
Are you not paying attention to what's going on in Europe? Ireland is almost bankrupt. Greece is almost bankrupt. Spain is almost bankrupt. Italy is almost bankrupt. Portugal is almost bankrupt. About the UK is, or I should say, England is almost bankrupt. A couple of the socialist countries in Scandinavia and Germany are about the last ones holding on. I'll tell you what, Jim, I appreciate you checking in, but you need to drop back a few yards and consider what you're saying. I don't know how to listen or debate with you because if we had a parliamentary system in the first place, I don't think capitalism would allow it at this point. Any political system we have in this country right now that does not arise after the complete overthrow of destruction of capitalism is going to be ineffective. It's just not going to work. I mean, come on. Come on. I guess I'm just too worn out to try to explain that to you. You need to understand why I say that, but you need to come to that understanding on your own. Okay? Okay. Thanks for checking in. John Nichols also points this out. Listen to this. As draconian as the new Republican leadership may be, you know, they don't give a damn about the working class or the middle class, all right? The fact is, a substantial portion of the current Republican caucuses in the House and Senate, and even larger portions of the incoming Republican caucuses in both chambers, represent states where unemployment is rising. For decades, Democrats have known how to pressure Republicans from New England states like Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, as well as Republican representatives and senators from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, other Great Lakes states, to back extensions of unemployment benefits. Nothing has changed, except that the unemployment rate is now higher than at any point in decades, and that the hurt has extended to states like Nevada, where more Republican votes should be available for the picking. In other words, what Nichols is saying, with what the Democrats seem to not understand, is that the country is waiting for a solution. And the solution is not with the Republicans. The fact that the Republicans picked up 100 seats or whatever the hell they picked up in the House means that people are still willing to cut their own throats politically. And they're willing to do that because they're uneducated. They don't understand what the hell is going on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. I said before, let the Republicans have it. Just let them have it. Let them just smash the country into the ground. I just didn't think that the President of the United States would assist in that smashing, that he would gleefully and willfully, and the more I look at him, the more I'm beginning to understand that he's totally out of touch with, I mean, who's he talking to? That wonderful rhetoric that certainly inspired 55, 60 million voters to put this man in the White House. I mean, he still uses some high-flying rhetoric, but who's he talking to? Who in the hell is he talking to anymore? I don't know. All right, we'll take a break and do your phone calls when we come back. If you have something to say about what's going on, give us a call. 877-996-2556. I'm Mike Malloy.
If your time, Dave, is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, and this hour is sponsored by Barbara Carlson. She has a message. Obama is not a socialist, but I am. So writes Barbara Carlson, a DSA member. Thanks, Barbara, for sponsoring this hour of the program tonight. Back to your calls. Bob is in Irving, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Mike, I was just thinking, I'm just listening to you. I mean, I feel the same way. I kind of almost feel like literally throwing up. I've never felt kind of that badly before. You know, it's like charging into battle and you're looking around and everybody on your right and left to put down their guns and down the other side or something. My questioner, I want to get your thoughts about, you know, the Tea Partiers, those morons, those stupid white Christian, I think they're pretty low income, basically, or certainly don't have a whole lot of college degrees among all of them. But, I mean, they're the kind of guys that, in a sense, have voted these people in or are for this and all that, aren't they going to be hurt just as well? And aren't they, is there any chance that the political atmosphere of the Tea Parties might change because they might realize that they're smart enough at all that this is going to affect them too?
You know, that has been a question I've been asking about anyone who votes Republican for the past, I don't know, 20 years. 30 years for at least, ever since Reagan, and people keep voting Republican. And I don't understand. The industrial base in this country is gone. Jobs are gone. The social safety net is holding on by a strand. These people that you're talking about that receive Medicare or have their investments guaranteed by government agencies like FSLIC or FDIC or Securities and Exchange Commission, they want all of that to end. And I don't understand what they're doing. They're committing suicide. And I don't, and plus, that's bad enough, I guess, but they're also making sure that their kids and grandkids and great-grandchildren will have to deal with this mess. Bob, I have no idea.
Well, where do you think Sarah Palin falls into this mess?
She's
kind
just
of a Pied Piper of it.
I don't know. Sarah Palin is insane. I really do think she is a psycho or sociopath. I do. I mean, I just do. When she stands up to talk, she makes no sense. When she brings cookies for students at a school, and says that the government doesn't have a right to tell people what to eat, which the government in the public schools, which the government is not doing. What the government is doing is providing for those people who do want to eat the food, voluntarily want to eat the food, nutritious food. And Sarah Palin says, well, the government's trying to tell you what to eat, and here's cookies. That, to me, is madness. That's insanity. That is not sane by any standard.
Well, is there any hope that us real Democrats might have a messiah so that in the next election we might actually have a chance against this tide of stupidity in our country?
You know, I like to think that, but I've been thinking that for the past 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 elections, and that leader doesn't show up. And I think those leaders are out there. They may be holding a seat in Congress right now. They may be a representative or a senator. But the way the game is now stacked, the Supreme Court has destroyed, just absolutely destroyed representative government in this country. First with the stopping of the vote counting back in December of 2000, stopping the vote counting in Florida, which guaranteed, George W. Bush would be president. And then, the second horrible thing that they did was to declare that in the Citizens United case that corporations have as much freedom of speech as individuals and secret freedom of speech, so that billions upon billions of dollars can be pumped into the political system now to forward a fascist program and philosophy. So I don't know, Bob. I don't know how to. I don't know that a Democrat who was a true liberal Democrat, how he or she would succeed unless they were multi-billionaire. I just don't understand how that would happen.
Okay, thanks, man. Let's keep fighting.
All right, Bob. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. Nat is in Northern Illinois, listening on XM. Hey, Nat.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How about you?
Well, I was sober before I started listening tonight, but I'm really stone cold sober now because, luckily I'm sane enough though to keep my car on the road.
Yeah.
If President Obama's progressive, I'm a Catholic priest. You know, I represent public employees and, you know, we're getting pounded for the government providing services, and people don't want us to provide the services, and they don't want to pay the taxes to have the services, but they still want the services. There's confusion.
Mm-hmm.
They want, but there's no give. And the fact that these tax cuts are going to benefit about, what, 9,000 people if it's like the top 1%?
Yeah, it's a very small number, but we don't have representative government anymore. We haven't, arguably, for, you know, certainly for the past 20 years, but we don't have it now. This has been a slow, steady, dedicated effort by the extreme right wing in this country, the corporatists and the neo-fascists, to change the way this country is governed. And they have done it with an awful lot of hard work, dedication to their cause, and convincing millions upon millions of people to actively support programs that are going to hurt the people who are actively supporting them. It's been an act of brilliance that I don't think has a comparison in history. Nobody. I mean, I've never, in any of my reading, I can't think of another period in time where a civilization has consciously decided to destroy itself. I got to leave there. Thanks, Nat. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Making the case when he spoke tonight, I didn't get a chance to hear him, but his position is that he had to do this. He had to fold his cards and slink into the night like a coward because he didn't want to deprive millions of Americans of their unemployment benefits. So what he's saying essentially is the Republicans held a gun to his head and said, if you don't give us what we want, you're not going to get anything for your little poor unemployed workers. That's a phony-ass argument if I ever heard one. All Obama had to do was stand up and fight, and he did not. I'll take a couple more calls on this, and then we're going to move on, because I can't talk about this. It's time for real guerrilla tactics against this entire system, and I think the hackers who are defending Julian Assange have the right idea. It may be time to declare cyber war on just about any entity that tries to further or advance this goal of international fascism that is so prevalent right now. I mean, it's all over the place, and especially, and not uniquely, but especially here in the United States. So that may be the answer. We're going to move on to that right after I talk with, first of all, Stephen in Burbank. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
This is a good thing, more or less, but I'm stay registered as a Democrat because my sample ballot says Dem on it. And in the last election, I voted for the Libertarian in the 29th. Adam Schiff is a blue dog, and I sent the sample ballot to the DNC. And another reason I stay registered as a, quote, Democrat, unquote, is I get the solicitations.
Mm-hmm.
And I fill them out, you know, like surveys and stuff like that. And I'd write, like, who are you trying to fool, you know, and what happened to EFCA, you know, and what's all this other weird noise that you're trying to get me to believe about what you're all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I say it's probably time. I think at some point somebody or each individual needs to make a declaration. The system is broken, irreparably broken. Social democracy operating within a capitalist system simply, or I shouldn't say social democracy, but representative government in the democratic model is broken, and it's not going to come back. It can't work with capitalism, so it's time to move on. As far as I'm concerned, it's time to move to democratic socialism, which would smash capitalism in its face, break all of its teeth, put its eyes out and fracture its jaw, and then we'll get on with the next evolution in economics, and that is economic justice, and a real attempt to try to undo the damage. And I'm speaking about the literal damage to this planet that capitalism has done over the past however long it's been in existence.
I agree.
Okay, well.
And I'm trying to do my part. You also mentioned WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to that, Tim from Los Angeles and I are Facebook friends, and I gave him a little web address, that, mm-hmm. and I had to dig it out of Dave Marsh, and he got way pissed off at me, and it was a very bad call. But he has it, and I think it's on yours, too, and I don't know if it's changed by now.
Dave Marsh, that used to be with ABC, now with Al Jazeera, the reporter? That Dave Marsh?
Well, he's a music critic. He's a best-selling author. He wrote a book called... you know, something about censorship.
Like the other, there are two Dave Marshes. Okay, that guy, I know who you mean. Right. He used didn't he used to write for Rolling Stone?
Yeah, Rolling Stone. Okay. He was with Cream, and he did all that neat stuff.
I got you.
And, you know, our chemistry doesn't click, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only reason he takes my calls is maybe sometimes I say something occasionally that isn't too far out. But, you know, as a metaphor about this, you know, quote, permanent tax cuts, unquote, for the ultra-wealthy, you know, in exchange for an extra half a year, you know, for unemployment benefits, I mean, I invented a metaphor called trading a June bug for a thoroughbred horse. And so...
Well, Obama's good at that, apparently.
Apparently.
I'm just kind of stunned about the whole thing. All right, Stephen, thanks, man.
You're welcome, boss.
Take care. Where are we here? Wait a second. Where are we? There we are. Mike is in San Francisco. Hey, Mike.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hey, how are you? I've been listening to you for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And, I just a real quick question on a side note before we get into it. Is that Run Like Hell at the very beginning of your program?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought so, like, kind of like a pan flutey kind of thing. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, I am a Republican, and where exactly, what is the next plan after you guys tear down the free market, and then what?
What free market are you talking about? Explain how the free market works to me in this country.
Well, the problem is that the
No, wait. You said what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me, either put up or shut up, Mike. Explain to me how the free market works now in the United States. Go ahead.
Okay, right now, it's not really a free market.
Well, then
anymore.
What is it that the Democrats have torn down? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the way that they go after business, so they make it unfriendly.
Who goes after business?
Liberal progressive.
Who? How? Give me an example. Don't sit there and spout rhetoric. Give me an example.
Through insistent legislation. And,
what legislation? What taxing?
Let's see. You know. I'm done.
Okay, Mike, you had your chance. Goodbye. Jesus Christ, I hate people like that. You know, I give you a chance, you Republicans or right-wingers. I don't know why I still do. But I gave you a chance, and you cannot talk. You can't talk. What comes out of your mouth is gibberish. Something that you picked up from listening to, from years of having your brains creamed by a Limbaugh, the drug addict, or Beck, the guy who wants to lead millions of you into a suicide pact. And, by the way, Beck is doing a damn good job of it. But I give you a chance, and you can't, you just sit there and spout stupid, mindless rhetoric that makes no sense. Well, you know, I'm not even going to recap it. It's just garbage talk. I don't know how that guy got on the air anyway. I usually don't like to waste my time with people who do that. All right, enough of that whining and bloviating and bitching about what Barack Obama has decided to do over and over and over again. 2 years of compromising in favor of the corporatists. 2 years of destroying the dreams of the middle class. 2 years of refusing to bring the criminals of the Bush crime family to anything even remotely resembling justice. 2 years of refusing to close down the torture camps that exist not just in Guantanamo, but all over the country. 2 years where he has refused to bring an end to these wars of opportunity that were started by the Bush crime family. Mr. Obama, you're a goddamn failure. You really are. Not for the reasons that these idiots like Sarah Palin say you are, but for reasons of policy failure and for reasons of betraying your own political base. To hell with you. I hope somebody on the left challenges you, although I don't think it matters. We'll be back and talk about something that makes a little bit more sense right after the break. Stay with us.
It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Tom in Minnesota wants to let me know that there has been a classical historical example of a country that destroyed itself, society destroyed itself, using ancient Rome as an example. He writes, Rome was a growing res publica, or republic. Then along came the Caesars, and it transformed itself into a booming and expanding economic, political, and military empire. Finally, the Roman Empire collapsed from within due to internal corruption and invasion from the outside of its borders. I draw a parallel, Tom writes, to the American or U.S. Empire. As with Pax Romana, the Pax Americana started out as a constitutional republic, then followed by many imperialist expansions of an economic, political, and military nature. This ruthless expansionism and hegemony, as with Rome, is happening right now. And as with Rome, the U.S. empire is overextending itself. And like Rome, the U.S. is decaying from within. That should answer your question, Tom in Minnesota. Well, it does. All right. Okay. But you have to go back 2,000 years for an example, right? Hackers have taken down a website owned by a bank that froze WikiLeaks funds. This is, to me, this is great news. a group of internet activists, according to Raw Story, a group of internet activists calling themselves Operation Payback, are taking credit for shutting down the website of a bank that earlier today froze funds belonging to WikiLeaks. The group, Operation Payback, on a Twitter account, declared, quote, "We will fire at anyone that tries to censor WikiLeaks," end quote. I like this. I really do. This, obviously, cyber warfare, guerrilla warfare via the Internet is close at hand now. We're very close to it. The virus, what was it called? Stuxnet? I forget the name of it. The one that was so prevalent here recently. And prior to that, about 8-10 months ago, a virus that was made a global circumnavigation but didn't really do anything. It was kind of like a test run. This, of course, is the future. Political systems no longer responsive to anybody anywhere on earth. There may be a couple of social democracies left that are still trying to respond to the needs and demands of the people in those countries that have that system, but most political systems on earth now are they're all pretty much the same. They're oligarchical in nature, or they become narco states like Mexico or Afghanistan. Mexico is about to collapse as a political entity. Those are the worries of some American diplomats, as revealed in WikiLeaks, but you don't have to be a diplomat to take a look at what's going on in Mexico over the past 10 years and realize that it's just about over in that country. So with this utter and absolute failure of all government to respond to the idea of justice and equal opportunity for people, real equal opportunity for people, the failure to, through taxation and intervention, do away with that ruling class, the ruling class across the planet that is now destroying everything it touches and stuff it can't even touch. It's just ruining everything. So we're at that point is what I'm trying to get to. Wars with soldiers and hardware and bombs and, that's very destructive and very boom, boom, rah, rah for the generals that run it. And no matter who the generals are, they can be from Zimbabwe or from the United States. It doesn't make any difference. That is not going to work. So real challenge and victory has to come via the internet and via the guerrilla hackers, the people who are going to use the internet to bring about a system of justice one way or the other. And I think this Operation Payback that occurred today is an example of that. Earlier today, Swiss bank Post Finance issued a statement announcing that it had frozen about 31,000 euros, 41,000 U.S. dollars, in an account set up as a legal defense fund for Julian Assange. As of Monday evening, their website was unavailable. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Love me like she does. Oh, she does. Yes, she does. And if somebody loved me like she do me, oh, she do me. Yes, she does.
Hey, truth seekers. Here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, Operation Payback. A group of internet activists are using that name. Hackers have taken credit for shutting down the website of a bank that earlier today froze funds belonging to WikiLeaks. As the assault and the chase and the hunt, that's the way it's being presented in media. But Julian Assange goes on. Late today, it was announced that he was meeting with British authorities. I think it was British, or was it Swedish? I don't know. To discuss the validity of these warrants that are out for him. Anyway, Operation Payback also promised to a hack attack on PayPal, the online payment service that last week cut off WikiLeaks, denying WikiLeaks a major tool for collecting donations from supporters. Operation Payback has effectively, according to Raw Story, effectively declared war on the organizations working to hobble WikiLeaks. In a video posted to YouTube, the group says, quote, "In these modern times, internet access is fast becoming a basic human right. Just like any other basic human right, we believe it is wrong to infringe upon it." The video goes on to say, quote, "To move to censor content on the internet based on your own prejudice is, at best, laughably impossible. The unjust restrictions you impose on us will meet with disaster and only strengthen our resolve to disobey and rebel against your tyranny." End quote. WikiLeaks, as you probably know, in recent days has been under a deluge of cyber attacks that led to its DNS registration for its .org URL being taken down. But by mid-Monday, the site had reappeared on more than 500 different domains. Julian Assange and the people who are operating to try to fight against global fascism are not going to be... they're not Barack Obama. They're not Tony Blair. You know, they are going to put up a resistance. And I think what we're seeing here with the WikiLeaks, a couple of things. I think we're seeing a real revolutionary moment. Irish Dave had sent me a synopsis of what occurred during the Russian Revolution in 1917 and the fact that immediately after the overthrow of the Tsar, the Russian government for a brief period was in the hands of, before Lenin took over, Kerensky, who was a liberal social democrat and, you know, wanted to do good. Well, that didn't last very long, did it? I think what the people working for, with, in conjunction with, in this web, this network, literal inter-network around the globe now, that whose visible face is Julian Assange, whose visible name is WikiLeaks. I think that organization, I think it's vast. It's my understanding that Assange has made it very clear that if he or his organization or his website or anything is tampered with, he will, by prearrangement, release information that will be devastating. Yeah, here it is. Assange's lawyer has warned that supporters of the WikiLeaks founder will unleash, quote, a thermonuclear device, end quote, of government files containing the names of spies, sources, and informants if he's killed, Assange, or brought to trial. Assange has dubbed this unfiltered cache of documents his insurance policy. The 1.5 gigabyte file, which has been distributed to tens of thousands of fellow hackers and open government campaigners around the world, is encrypted with a 256-digit key. according to the Sunday Times of the UK. Experts interviewed by the paper said that even powerful military computers can't crack the encryption without this key. And contained inside that file are believed to be all of the documents that WikiLeaks has received to date, including unpublished papers on the Guantanamo Bay detention camp, papers belonging to BP, the Bank of America. Assange has previously suggested that the documents are unredacted, meaning they contain names that normally would be removed before publication to protect the lives of sources. He told the BBC in August, quote, "We have, over a long period of time, distributed encrypted backups of material we have yet to release. All we have to do is release the password to that material, and it is instantly available," end quote. Assange's lawyer, Mark Stevens, also told the BBC news program, The Andrew Marr Show, yesterday that if the WikiLeaks website was taken down, or if anything happened to his client, to Assange, the key to that damaging file would be released. The attorney said WikiLeaks founders need to protect themselves, and this is, I think, what they believe to be a thermonuclear device effectively in the electronic age, end quote. The attorney added that the insurance policy was vital because Assange had received numerous death threats from around the world, including one from Canadian Tom Flanagan, a former campaign manager to Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Flanagan told a TV interviewer last week that Assange should be assassinated and taken out with a drone or something. He later apologized for the remark. Of course, Sarah Palin has called for Assange to be prosecuted for treason, which is an impossibility since he is not an American citizen. But never mind, Sarah Palin is such a dumbass. Newt Gingrich has labeled him an enemy combatant who is engaged in terrorism. It's just astonishing. And all he has done is release files showing the lies. I shouldn't say all he has done. Come on, Mike. Don't be as naive as the people you're criticizing here. What he has done is he has released information that rips the facade of civility away from these organizations that are global fascists. And his, as far as I can determine, for my own personal satisfaction, his goal is justice and truth. And that cannot be tolerated by predatory capitalism or fascism. One of the women, this is also from Raw Story, and it's other sources too, but one of the women that is accusing Julian Assange of sex crimes apparently worked with a group that has connections to the CIA. And the rape charge is based, I'm not laughing about sexual assault. I don't believe sexual assault here occurred here. According to Swedish law, sex without the use of condoms between unmarried people can be considered rape. That's what it says here. James Catlin, a lawyer who recently represented Assange, said the sex assault investigation into the WikiLeaks founder is based on claims he didn't use condoms during sex with two Swedish women. Swedish prosecutors said last week that Assange was not wanted for rape, as has been reported, for something called, in Swedish law, quote, sex by surprise, or, quote, unexpected sex. Good God. One of the accusers, Anna Arden, may have, according to Israel Shamir and Paul Bennett, writing for Counterpunch, Anna Arden may have ties to the U.S. finance anti-Castro and anti-communist groups. While in Cuba, this woman worked with Las Damas de Blanco, the Ladies in White, which is a feminist anti-Castro group. And it was pointed out that that group is led by Carlos Alberto Montaner, who is reportedly connected to the CIA. And on and on and on. There's also connection, Las Damas de Blanco is partially funded by the U.S. government, and also counts Luis Posada, Carriles, as a supporter. Now, Posada, as you remember, is a declassified document from 1976, revealed him as a CIA agent. And he's been convicted of terrorist attacks that killed hundreds of people. He's the one that planted a bomb, I believe that's the guy, in an airliner that was traveling from Cuba to where? Venezuela? Back in the 70s, that murdered scores of people. So, you know, as we said early on, all of a sudden charges of sexual assault, not rape, but now it's called sex by surprise. I'd like to have some of that. We'll be right back.
Me out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom.
10 before the hour.
Bang, 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 bang.
So,
boom, 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 boom.
Bang, apparently, bang, what happened with Assange and these charges of sex by surprise or unexpected sex, I'm as unfamiliar with those terms as you are, but. The Swedish government says he has not been charged with rape, and they're not seeking to arrest him for rape. But as it turns out, one of the accusers, Anna Arden, has ties, as indirect as they may be, to the U.S. finance anti-Castro and anti-communist groups, according to two writers at Counterpunch, Israel Shamir and Paul Bennett. And the other accuser, Sophia Weiland, sent messages and tweets boasting of the two women's, quote, conquests, end quote, following the alleged sexual activity among the three of them. One of the attorneys for Assange said, quote, in the case of Arden, that's the woman who was with women in white, ladies in white, in the case of Arden, it is clear that she has thrown a party in Assange's honor at her flat after the so-called crime, that would be the release of the documents, and tweeted to her followers that she is, quote, with the world's coolest, smartest people, it's amazing, end quote. The exact content of Weiland's mobile phone text, that's the other woman, Sophia Weiland, is not yet known, but their bragging and exculpatory character has been confirmed by Swedish prosecutors. Neither women's texts complain of rape. And Arden, apparently, I don't know if this is pertinent or not, probably not, but Arden has also published a seven-step guide on how to get revenge on cheating boyfriends. Anyway, the charges against Assange, when they first surfaced, as you know, if you listen to this program, you know, I expressed a lot of doubt, like, oh, my God. Use that charge, sexual assault. That's a good one. That's one step above sexual assault on a child. And I guess they figured they didn't have to go to that level. They could use sexual assault charge as a means of putting Julian Assange on the run. Do you not find any any weirdness here with the fact that all of this occurs once Assange has released these thousands, of hundreds of thousands, millions of documents? So I think what Julian Assange represents is global cyber war. And I think it's about time. You know, whistleblowers are one thing, people who discover that their company is doing something foul, evil, destructive, dangerous, that causes people to die. And whistleblower tries to get the word out, and it takes forever, and nobody listens. And the government, so many government agencies now have been so corrupted to the point where government agencies, regulatory agencies that are supposed to be on the alert for this, usually just try to silence the person rather than investigate and prosecute. And once a prosecution is mounted, it is never against people. Not never, but very seldom against people. It is usually against the capitalist organization that then receives a fine. The fine can be a million, a billion, 5 billion. It doesn't make any difference. Capitalism can absorb this and move on. So the game, the playing field is totally lopsided in favor of the international capitalists, fascists, whatever you want to call them, corporatists. Along comes Julian Assange, who says, wait a second, there is a different way to get these sons of bitches. Hang them with their own rope. Just reveal what they talk about. Reveal the plotting, the deception, the lies, the deceit, the murderous activities that accomplish nothing in terms of justice or global peace or an understanding, but do everything to further destroy anything that has any value on this planet, except the furtherance of the goals of this top international, global 1% or 2% that want everything. So good on you, Julian. And to the hackers who have formed sort of a cordon around Assange, in a manner of speaking, an electronic cordon. Good on you, too. This is the only way that it can be done. There is no way on earth that the justice system of any country at this point, whose lies and injustices have been revealed, is going to grant Julian Assange the assumption or presumption of innocence until being proven guilty. Every single law enforcement or judicial system has a series of trapdoors now that can guarantee that someone who is truly innocent of any charge leveled against him or her, that person can be thrown into a labyrinth of jails and prisons and all sorts of little hidey holes until such time as the state, wherever the state happens to be, decides to execute or torture or find him guilty. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy Program. If you want to get some more information about the two women who have apparently filed some sort of charges against Assange based on sexual activity, I think it's posted at Daily Kos. The writer is Kirk James Murphy, M.D., and it was posted on Saturday. It's in-depth. It's amazing what the Internet can do, right? Dr. Murphy sums up by saying, small world, isn't it? Julian Assange is the human face of WikiLeaks, the organization that's enabled whistleblowers to reveal hideous war crimes and expose much of America's foreign policy to the world. He just happens to meet a Swedish woman who just happens to have been publishing her work in a well-funded anti-Castro group that just happens to have links with a group led by a man at least one journalist describes as an agent of the CIA, the violent secret arm of America's foreign policy. And she just happens to have been expelled from Cuba, which just happens to be the global symbol of successful defiance of American foreign policy. And despite her work in Sweden upholding the human rights of gender equity, in Cuba, she just happens to end up associating with a group openly supported by an admitted CIA agent who himself committed mass murder when he actively participated in the terrorist bombing of a jetliner carrying a Cuban sports team, an act that was of a piece with America's secret foreign policy of violent attacks against Cuban state interests. And now she just happens, after admittedly consensual sex, to have gone to Swedish authorities to report the sex ended without a condom, which just happens to be the pretext for Interpol to issue a so-called red notice informing the world's police forces of charges against Julian Assange, who just happens to be the man America's political class, the people who run America's foreign policy, have been trying to silence, and who happens to be the man some of them have been calling to have murdered. With a lust for vengeance like this, one could be forgiven for concluding they just happen to have taken a page from Anna's revenge manual. So you can find all this if you want to. And I think you should be interested, because I think about the only resistance, effective resistance, let me rephrase that, about the only means of establishing justice, whether it's political, economic, whatever, is going to be through the use of the Internet. We're in a whole different era, and I think Julian Assange's work has revealed that. Tim from L.A. writes, Mike, the 21st century revolution will not be bricks, bombs, and bullets, but PCs and a modem. The power of the people was stifled by the threat of weapons of mass destruction. So the geek in mom's basement knew they could not fight. The geeks in mom's basement knew they could not fight and were deathly afraid of guns, so instead they use the tools they feel more comfortable with. Now, imagine the police state rolls in, or a rogue country whose leader is a nutcase wanting to launch a tactical nuke on a sovereign nation. The pimple-faced kid can prevent this from happening by stopping the launch in its tracks. Fearing a religious nutball may use their computer to launch a nuke on the U.S. to start the rapture. There are more liberals out there who will stop the slimy Baptist bastard and shut down everything known to destroy the earth. Operation Payback is living proof. It certainly is proof of the ability to respond. And on a day when the President of the United States rolls over for the fascists and sticks his legs in the air and asks them to, okay, I rolled over for you. Will you please scratch my tummy? No, you won't even do that. On a day when we witness the President of the United States completely cave in, even though he and his party control the House, control the Senate, control the executive branch, doesn't make any difference. They are gutless sons of bitches who allow this to happen in the United States. On that same day, you have a group of hackers who make it very clear that the war has started and that they know how to fight. And Assange himself makes it clear through his attorney that he has already planted for release, if it comes to that, something that the capitalists fear the most. And that's the truth. Capitalism cannot live with the truth because the truth is so destructive. Capitalism destroys eventually every single thing it touches, everything. And especially now, when the ability to exploit resources globally has been so reduced. Where are you going to go now, boys? I mean, what's left, huh? What's left? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go to steal, rob, pillage, loot, cheat, sneak? Where are you going to go? So, capitalism has kind of reached its endpoint where it must convert from a purely economic system to an economic political system, i.e. fascism, and provide the world that image that Orwell wrote about. You want to see the future? It's look at a boot grinding into the face of a man lying on the ground. That's your picture of the future. There's just one problem, and that was the invention, development of the Internet. With this particular tool slash weapon, no person or group of people on earth need or needs to be totally suppressed. As long as you have a modem and a PC and a power source, you can resist. You can resist in a way that capitalism can never control. That's why there is so much effort right now to censor, i.e. destroy, the Internet. What did I read today or yesterday? The CIA or the Department of Homeland Security has recently shut down 80 websites for whatever reason. I don't know what the reasons were. Some of the reasons stated was they were scam sites that were stealing money from people. You know, hey, come here, buy for the Christmas holiday, and you did this or did that. And, you know, and there might be some element of truth to that, that the CIA or the Homeland Security was shutting down. But where are the teabaggers? I thought anytime government intervened in private enterprise, even though the private enterprise might be a scam, you teabag bastards were, up on your hind feet screaming and screeching and yelling and howling at the moon. Where are you on this one? No place, you little devils, because you're a bunch of cowards and you want Big Daddy Fascism to take over and tell you what to do, right? I'll tell you what to do. We'll be right back.
Now our children, they start and freeze. Think me dumb. You want mister, well you call me blue, green or red, this one thing, sure no mister, well my hungry children, they must be fed, but I don't want your millions mister, I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Where you get.
More Fly flying monkey free fun and frivolity with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. I guess there's not a whole lot left to say tonight about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, except I think it's obvious to anyone who's paying attention what is occurring. There is a concerted effort by a few people left who are in the cyber world to respond to this attempt by corporatism to end the last avenue, the last portal of freedom on earth, of unrestricted, unbridled freedom. Freedom to be a nut if you want to, but also freedom to bring down governments if you choose to, and that is the Internet. And with capitalism, it's as witnessed by Obama's collapse today, it's a zero-sum game. Anything that there is no negotiation with capitalism. They want everything. You get nothing. Even your subsistence that allows you to continue to operate within capitalism's web, even that is being diminished. And the hackers and the cyber folks who have watched a couple of things. First of all, the rise of global fascism, corporatism, and how there is no way, there's no restriction against it. I mean, every single Western nation, so-called, I guess those are code words mostly for industrialized or in so many instances white, but in all of these countries, whether it is Russia, I think Russia is a classic example of a state run by criminals. I mean, the whole thing. They don't have any ambitions the way Cheney did. The Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Brits. I'm talking about the governments. The Canadians, the Aussies, the certainly the United States, the Mexicans. I mean, name me a country where the global capitalism has not decided that, you know, this predatory capitalism has not decided to bring an end to even the pretend of liberty and justice for all. Come on, be honest. I'm not talking about you right-wingers. You dumb bastards are so out of the loop. Go back to sleep. Go watch something on your televisions. I'm not talking to you. But the battle lines have been drawn then. So how do you resist? What do you do? We've talked many times over the past couple of years on this program about the futility, the actual futility, maybe not symbolic futility, but the actual futility of putting hundreds of thousands of people in the street, unless you're a nutbag like Beck and you just want to test and see how many people you can consider you might be able to get to commit suicide with you. But I'm talking about real effective change. It no longer comes unless you get the whole damn country to stop, which we won't do. That will not happen here. Even when it comes close to that in France and Spain and Italy now, the government ignores it because it can. When you are staring into a black hole of unemployment or losing your house or not being able to educate your children or get health care for your family members, it's pretty easy to listen to the next demagogue that comes along and says, okay, here's what you need to do, and I'll make sure you have food on your table. Not much, but enough so you're not going to starve to death. What the hell are you going to do? So I don't doubt for a second this is premature, perhaps, but the battle lines are being drawn. How resistance is going to manifest itself in over the next over the coming decades. I won't be around to see it, but perhaps you will. I don't know how old you are. My kids will. My grandkids will. And the only thing I can hope is that they will be tuned in. I'll do my goddamnedest to make sure they're tuned in before I die. As to what the battlefield is going to be, where the lines are drawn. You know, this idea of offing a repressive government through an insurgency is ridiculous. It cannot work. It will not work. So what are you left with? You're left with the cyber world, where all the power really lies. There's not a system on Earth that is not now wired into the network. What does this remind you of, huh? What does this remind you of? Reminds you anything of, like, the Matrix, maybe? Early stages, huh? Pay attention.
I've been down and I'm wondering why these little black clouds keep walking around me. With me. West time.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Bruce writes in regarding websites being shut down. ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, has been shutting down websites for alleged copyright violations, corporate copyrights. But they don't bother to get a warrant or any sort of court order, none of that time-consuming due process crap. And one site was a search engine that didn't offer to sell anything or directly link to anything copyrighted. What's happening here, they are testing to see if Americans are really ready to accept Big Brother. A lot of Americans are. It's already been decided. I was reading once again today, I forget where I put it, but I guess it was something Chris Hedges wrote. The inability of people to resist, you know, we've talked about this before many times, that revolution only comes out of the middle class. And so the key to protecting yourself against a revolution, if you are so inclined, if you're totalitarian, whether you're left or right totalitarian, the way to protect yourself is to destroy the middle class. Make sure that one doesn't exist. If you are just emerging a certain way, you're a dictator and you've taken over an agrarian little country, you keep the people from reaching so-called middle-class status and you're pretty safe. If you are a totalitarian that wants to take over an industrialized country, the first thing you have to do is destroy the middle class. And by a totalitarian, I don't mean any one particular person, just a system. Everything is systematized, and every single system is now linked to or influenced by or depends upon web services. So the real combat, the effective combat of the future is going to be on the internet, and those people who understand that are the people who are going to survive.
pretty simple, right? Daily Kos also had an article, when was this, recently, Bob Sloan, I think it was Saturday, Corrections Concepts Incorporated. Corrections Concepts Incorporated. Now you can tell by the name what that is. It's a prison industry. In this particular case, this company is working to get Wichita, Oklahoma, to sponsor the building of a new private prison. This facility would be the first all-Christian prison in the United in the United States. Inmates would be supervised by Christian guards and staffers. In addition, the inmates would work at the facility in a prison industry under the federal PIECP program. Do you know what that is? That's the Prison Industries Enhancement Certification Program. Now, what that allows is a relaxation of federal statutes governing the manufacture, sale, and distribution of prisoner-made products and services by state prison industries. If you are a religious-based organization, thanks to Bush and Obama, the rules can be relaxed or done away with. So this one, the first all-Christian prison, you don't think you're insane? Listen, you don't think this country has gone mad? Are you listening to this? Inmates would be, now it says volunteering inmates. What, you volunteer to go to this particular prison after you've broken the law? I don't know. Would be supervised by Christian guards and staffers. In addition, the inmates would work at the facility in a prison industry under the federal PISIP program. However, Corrections Concepts, the company wants to do this, intends to not abide by the mandatory requirements of paying inmate workers in the program prevailing wages. Now, here's something you probably didn't know. I damn sure didn't know it. These private prisons, they have a labor force, not unlike the German industrialists like Krupp and the rest of them, had a labor force comprised of Jews, Lithuanians, Latvians, anybody that they wanted. A lot of these German companies are still operating under different management, of course. So, but they didn't pay them, you know, slave labor. Well, there's some rules in effect here still in the United States that if you use this system, Prison Industry Enhancement Certification Program, I guess it's referred to as the PIE program. You can get a waiver so you don't have to pay prevailing wages. The avoidance of paying prevailing wages to prison industries. Now, we're not talking about making license plates or, you know, little doodads for the state. We're talking about private industry that signs up a company like Corrections Concepts, Inc. And then it's up to that company or one like it, I imagine, to cut the deal with the capitalists on the outside and the prisoners on the inside and pay them federal minimum wage rather than prevailing wage. If this prison industry is going to be some type of electronics work that normally would pay $25 an hour, no. It'll be, what is the federal minimum wage right now? I don't even know, but that's what they would be paid. The avoidance of paying prevailing wages, according to Daily Kos, was first presented by Corrections Concepts founder Bill Robinson to Texas Governor Bush in 1995. Bush so liked the idea of combining the faith-based community with prison industries that in the following year, he authored resolutions in Texas making it easier for such initiative programs to get state tax dollars for their operations. And once in the White House, of course, Bush brought the concept with him, establishing the White House offices of faith-based community initiatives, satellite offices in every federal department and agency, including the Department of Justice that oversees this program we're talking about. Bush did this by executive orders within days of taking office in 2001. So, a Christian prison in Wichita, Oklahoma. And the guy in charge of this Robinson guy, Bill Robinson, believes anyone who opposes him is godless or one sick puppy, quote, 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 quote. You should go to Daily Coast and read this one. Christian prison to be built in Wichita, Oklahoma, and to use prison industry under federal PIE program. It's a rather lengthy article, but as you read through this, this is some scary stuff. Oh my God. At the very end of the article, Bob Sloan, who wrote this, says, let's stop this in its tracks once and for all. A good place to start is to disallow any religion from building and operating a prison where their particular ministering to a captive number of convicts would be allowed. Oh, dear God. You want to see the future? Huh? Go to Daily Coast and read this. Oh, man. Oh, and the latest on Helen Thomas. She got into trouble again. Wayne State University in Detroit had an annual diversity award that it gave to people who worked for justice. It was in her name. And Sunday night, the Wayne State University decided to end giving that award in her name because of something Helen Thomas said, and I'll share it with you when we come back after this break. They just won't let up on this poor old Lebanese woman, will they, huh? We'll be right back. The latest Helen Thomas dust up with AIPAC types or people whose, by definition, are Zionists. And I use that term in its strict definition. I don't use it as a pejorative, I use it as what it means. It was first reported by the Detroit Free Press website. Thomas, Thursday night, was at a workshop conducted by an organization called Arab Detroit. And she delivered a short talk there. And there were about 300 people there, most of them non-Arab, according to the Free Press.
And Helen Thomas criticized U.S. wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and talked about, quote, the whole question of money involved in politics, end quote. She went on to say, quote, we are owned by propagandists against the Arabs. There's no question about that. Congress, the White House, are owned by the Zionists. No question, in my opinion. They put their money where their mouth is. We're being pushed into a wrong direction in every way, end quote. And her speech, according to the Free Press, from which I'm quoting right now, drew a standing ovation. Now, before she gave this talk, a Free Press reporter asked Helen Thomas about her previous comments back in June when she told a rabbi on camera that Israelis should, quote, get the hell out of Palestine and, quote, go home to Poland, Germany, America, and everywhere else. Remember? And as a result of that, she resigned, ending her long career as a White House reporter. And during the Thursday interview in Dearborn, Michigan, Thomas defended her previous comments and criticized U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East and Afghanistan, saying the Iraq war, quote, was built on all lies, end quote. She added, quote, thousands are dead with no reason explained yet. There has been no truthful reason for going into Iraq, end quote. And Helen Thomas said the Palestinians are, quote, second-class citizens. 78% of their land is now gone, taken by sheer aggression, and nobody in America says anything, end quote. Asked by the Free Press how she would respond to those who say she's anti-Semitic, Helen Thomas says, I'd say I'm a Semite. What are you talking about? Who are you? It's true. She is Semitic. Anyway, in response to all that, Wayne State University ended the Helen Thomas Spirit of Diversity Award after she made those remarks on Thursday, about what she sees as Zionist influence in American institutions. And the morning after her remarks, the Anti-Defamation League issued a statement by Director Abe Foxman that blasted her comments as anti-Semitic and called upon journalism schools and other groups to rescind honors that recognize her. And a few hours later, Wayne State University said it was pulling its award, saying it, quote, strongly condemns the anti-Semitic remarks made by Helen Thomas, end quote. You know, there we go again. Anti-Semitism because you challenge and question the policies of Israel against the people of Palestine. If you challenge, if you question, you are an anti-Semite in the minds of some. Absolutely. Abe Foxman, obviously. What a shame. So there are definite boundaries in this country about things you cannot talk about. If you do talk, you can talk about it if you want to, but you will suffer the consequences. One thing you cannot do on a global basis, as Julian Assange has found out, is try to get the truth out about what, not just the United States, although the United States is his focus, and well, it should be. We are the largest exporters of terrorism on Earth in the history of the human race. I mean, there's no question. No question. Certainly for the past 50 or 60 years. Actually, for the past century. But so Julian Assange or Helen Thomas or just about anyone who really speaks out where it concerns the political economic oppression that's perpetrated on so many people on this planet, and including Americans. You know, Obama betraying the American working class is no different from capitalism betraying and punishing and butchering the American working class. I wonder what it's going to take for people to realize that. I don't know. Maybe never, nothing, ever at all. It's just, if you look around the United States, you start to see a beatdown that is just relentless. It just will not stop. You know, all this happy-ass talk about things are improving. Where? Where? I mean, my God. Things are not improving. Things are getting steadily worse. But you can only talk about it in within a certain context. If you start to challenge the ascent of the framework of the system, then, I don't know, you'll be charged with sexual misconduct in Sweden or something. Or in Helen Thomas's case, if you challenge what has happened or challenge the validity or the righteousness of what is happening to the Palestinian people, doesn't make any difference that you're, old and near the end of your career, much less your life. You'll be blacklisted, ostracized, fired, kicked out of here, kicked out of there. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.